You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and we're going to start in verse 69. We're going to look into the life of Peter here for a short period of time. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while he came unto him, they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou artest one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just ask now that you'll help us bring some truths out of these scriptures, Lord, and speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, guide and direct in everything said and done. Let it bring honor and glory to you. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see this is the part of the scripture where Peter denies the Lord. I got a little introduction I want to read. It seems there was this wild duck who's with his mates flying in the springtime northward across Europe. During the flight, he came down to a Danish barnyard where there were tame ducks. He enjoyed some of their corn. He stayed for an hour, for then a day, for a week, then for a month. Finally, because he relished the good fare and the safety of the barnyard, he stayed all summer. But one autumn day, when the flock of wild ducks were winging their way southward again, they passed over the barnyard and their mate heard their cries. He was stirred with a strange thrill of joy and delight, and with a great flapping of his wings, he rose in the air to join his old comrades in their flight. But he found that his good fare had made him so soft and heavy that he could rise no higher than the eaves of the barn. He dropped back again to the barnyard and said to himself, "Oh well, my life is safe here and the food is good." Every spring and autumn, when he heard the wild ducks honking, his eyes would gleam for a moment, and then he would begin to flap his wings. But finally the day came when the wild ducks flew over him, and he uttered their cry, but he paid not the slightest attention to them. What a parable that is of how the soul can forget the high ideals and standards and be content with lower things. See, we're going to look at the life of Peter. And we're going to see here in our text, we're presented with a man who puts the story of a complacent duck, into human shoe leather. This man's name is Simon Peter. Our text finds him in the wrong place, doing the wrong things with the wrong people. How did he wind up here? Well, backsliding. That's what we see in the life of Peter, is a process that develops over time. First one area, then another begins to slip in the life, and then before a person knows what has happened, they are no longer soaring high above the world, but they find themselves surrounded by people who do not know how to fly and do not care to find out. Some are just like Simon Peter. We have allowed our heart to grow cold. Our love for Christ doesn't burn as brightly as it once did. The things of God are not as glorious as they used to be. Maybe we wonder how it all happened and if there is any hope for our restoration. We're going to see here in the life of Peter, here in the Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, fallen but not forsaken. Fallen but not forsaken. First thing we're going to see here, we're going to see Peter's faith. We're going to look at him and look at his beginning We're going to keep your. We're going to come back to Matthew 26, but let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to see Peter's faith. Chapter 5 and verse 1, we're going to see his conversion. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came, filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, for thou henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when thou hast brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So we see here in Luke chapter 5, we see where Peter come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he used his ship, and then he told him to go out and to speak to the people. And then he went out and told them to drop their nets. Even though they had been toiling all night long, Peter listened to him and did that. And he blessed, the Lord Jesus blessed his obedience. It says, "Fill both their ships," and they began to sink. And then Peter realized at that point, and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But then we see in John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, we see it says he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted by interpretation, a stone. Does that kind of remind you of, I believe it's Matthew chapter 16, where it talks about upon this rock the church will be built. And he was speaking of himself, but when you look at the word for rock for Christ, he is the big rock and Peter's the little rock. Well, he calls him Cephas here, which is the word for stone. So we see Peter had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. That is what salvation is. 1 John 5:12, he says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." We have to first have an encounter. We come before him. We're brought to the knowledge of him. We're brought to the knowledge of our sinfulness through the scriptures, as we've seen there in Sunday school. The law brings the knowledge of sin in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. But he also says here, John 1:41 and 42, as we see there, he said he first found his own brother, and then they said they found the Messiah, and they brought him to Christ. And he says, "Thou art Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas." So we see Peter's conversion. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. But then we see in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, he says, Simon Peter answered, let's go back to verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" So we see Peter's conversion in Luke chapter 5, but here in Matthew chapter 16, we see Peter's confession. His confession. Turn back to chapter 14 and verse 33, and it says, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. If you go back a few verses, this is the passage where Jesus walks on the water. Peter comes to it and says, Lord. Peter answered him and said in verse 28, it says, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So we see Peter's confession. He confessed that he was the Christ. We see also here in John chapter 6 and verse 67. John chapter 6, verse 67. Says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? If you go back a few verses, he was dealing with, actually, let's go back all the way to verse 60 to get a little picture of this. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. He said, therefore said I unto you, and know that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? In verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? And he was speaking of Judas Iscariot. So we see here Peter's confession. We see there in John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 27. It says, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. See, this was dealing with the resurrection. This was dealing with the resurrection of Lazarus. And Jesus had said to Martha, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said in verse 25, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she thought he was referring to the resurrection when he comes back. But he was trying to get her to see that he was going to raise her brother from the dead. And she says, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. So she professed there. And then we see in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. It says, and straightway, this is just after Paul had gotten saved, the conversion of Saul, and then they turned his name to Paul, and he had just spent some time with the disciples. And then in verse 18 it says, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So we've seen his confession. We must believe that he is who he says he is, because it's necessary for salvation. So we see Peter's conversion there in Luke chapter 5. We see Peter's confession in Matthew 16. But we also see there Peter's conclusion in John chapter 6. We just looked at these verses. We just read them. Dealing with there's a hard saying, and many disciples walked away. See, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to God. And he's the truth from God in the life of God. John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, Peter knew that everything began and ended with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is necessary for somebody to be a child of God. This is necessary for us to understand in order to get saved. But not only do we see his conversion, his confession, and his conclusion, but we see in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 2, we see Peter's consecration. Peter's consecration. Starting in verse 1, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he gave them strict orders that he needed to be preaching to the Jews and not to the Gentiles and not to the Samaritans. But his consecrations. Peter was numbered first among the apostles. He was mentioned first. He was blessed. He was used. Peter now was in a place of power, a place of honor. And he was dedicated. We know this by John chapter 18. Because when they come to get him, when he was getting betrayed, he cut off a man's ear. We're going to look at John chapter 18 and verse 10. It says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword in the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So Peter was very zealous. This was his consecration. He walked in a place of power. See, there's no doubt that we are dealing with a saved man here. We see when he was converted. He's born again. His name's written in heaven. He's a child of God. But Peter still ends up in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. How is that? He walked with the Lord for 3.5 years before he was crucified. But he comes to a place in his life where he comes to a spiritual low. We need not to think that our spiritual walk just ends up with being saved. That's not what the Christian life's all about. That's just the beginning. When we get saved, that's the first thing that happens. But from then on, now a whole new life is opened up to us. That's just the beginning. See, once we accept the Lord, salvation is a finished matter. He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again from the dead. It was sealed and finished. He says, it is finished when he was on the cross. The work of salvation, the work of redemption was finished when Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again from the dead. But see, salvation is a relationship that must be cultivated and nurtured if there's going to be any blessing or power in the life of a saved person. It's something, it's an ongoing relationship. It's like any of our relationships. How much time and effort are we putting into those relationships? That's what you're going to get out of it. The more time we spend with Christ, the more we're going to be able to see in the person's life that does that, of how much time they really spent with him. See, it's not enough to claim to believe the right things, but we must also behave the right way. So if we've truly been with Jesus, it will show. See, we see in the lives of the apostles in chapter 4 of Acts. Chapter 4 of Acts, verses 13 and 14. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. So there was proof. But the question I ask, can the world tell that we had been with Jesus? Can the world tell? When somebody looks at your life, can they tell that you've been with Jesus? See, if we don't spend much time at all, it will show. So we see Peter's faith, his conversion, his confession, his conclusion, his consecration. But now we go back to Matthew chapter 26 and we see Peter's fall. We see Peter's fall. Matthew 26 and verse 69. So we truly believe that Peter was saved. But what is he doing in this place with these people? We're going to look at, see what God's Word has to say here. We've seen Peter's faith. Now we're going to take a look at his fall. Peter fell, first of all, in his words. We see Peter's fall. He fell in his words. Back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, Matthew 16, 21, it says, "From the time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things to be of God for those that be of men." So he fell in his words. He rebuked the Lord for what he was trying to say. He's saying, "This is not so, Lord." Because Jesus was trying to help his disciples understand what was going to take place here in the future. But then also in Matthew 26, if you go back to chapter 26, and we're going to look at verses 31. It says, Then said Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee." But Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Every one of them said they would not deny him. And guess what happened? Every one of them forsook him. Every one of them disappeared when it come time to face the issues. See, both times Peter rejected what the Lord had said and went about establishing his own truth. Peter fell in his words. When Peter opened his mouth, the rebellion that was in his heart came out. When our heart is not right with the Lord, it eventually comes out. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." See, what's in the heart will come out. Now, the Pharisees at one point were giving Jesus a hard time because they didn't wash their hands before they ate and all that. But what you eat eventually comes back out. But what's in the heart comes out the mouth. See, when Peter's opened his mouth, the rebellion that was in his heart came out. See, a rebellious, wayward heart will cause the mouth to reveal its true character. How many of us are guilty of the same thing? We get in trouble when we're so full of self that we can't see past the mirror. See, true joy is putting Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. We need to prefer others before ourselves, as it says there in Romans chapter 15. And Jesus is the perfect example of that. Romans 15, 1 through 3. We need to prefer others before ourselves. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." So we see Christ was that example. So are we telling the Lord, I hear what you're saying, but I have a better way to live my life than yours? See, an attitude like this is nothing but pride. Proverbs 16 and verse 5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, Satan or the devil fell because of what? Pride. Something that God hates more than anything. So not only do we see that Peter fell in his words, but we see Peter fell in his walk. Let's go back to chapter 26 of Matthew and verse 40. Peter fell in his walk. It says in verse 40, it says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, when it come time to actually walk and prove that his heart was right, it wasn't because what? He fell asleep. He wasn't that interested. See, he fell in his walk. We see there in verse 58, it says, but Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace, went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Not only did he fall asleep, he followed afar off. See, the real question is how close are we to the Lord today? Or are we following at a distance? Not only did he fall asleep, he followed afar off. We see there that he fellowshipped around the wrong fire. He fellowshipped around the wrong fire. We see that in verses 69 through 71. It says, now Peter sat without the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. He denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while he came unto him that stood by and said unto Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. See, he remembered when the Lord went back and took him to that moment and said, you will deny me before the cock crow twice. His fellowship was around the wrong fire. He was around the wrong Peter. See, Peter found out you cannot hide sin's presence when it's in your life. He fell asleep. He followed at the distance. He fellowshipped with the enemies. He hung out with the wrong people. See, how this must have grieved the Lord. See, the one who died on the cross and saved his wretched soul, the one who died for us. Can you imagine how much this hurt the Lord? So the question is, are we guilty of only having an inward look? We ought to have an upward look, which results in an outward look. If our focus is where it should be, on the Lord Jesus Christ, on God, if it's there first, then we're going to have an outward look because we're going to be looking at all these lost people around us. Are we in the same shape as Peter is here? There was once a time that when you walked in, walked with the Lord, his word was precious. Minutes spent with him were like precious pearls. But there came a day when it was easier to sleep than to pray. Slumber was preferred over study, and when a little folding of the hands was preferred over the time spent in his presence, in his words, and in his house. How do we expect the Lord to bless us as he would like to if we don't even give him an opportunity to? You couldn't feel him as you once did. He just didn't seem as real as he did before. Instead of walking close, you're far off. Fellowshipping around the wrong fire, enjoying the wrong company, doing the wrong things. See, it will take a toll. They cannot be hid forever. They will begin to show in your life. See, it's only a matter of time. And you'll be where you're not supposed to be, doing the wrong things which wrong people do. See, the whole thing is, we don't have to commit murder. We don't have to commit adultery. We don't have to steal, lie, or get drunk, or be in sin. All we have to do is grow cold on the Lord and do nothing about it. All you have to do is let a little slackness and coldness reside in your heart, and then you're there. It happens so quickly before we realize it. We see Peter's faith. We see his fall. He fell in his words. He fell in his walk. But he also fell in his ways. He forsook his personal Savior, as we see there in chapter 26 and verse 56. It says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." This is where they arrested Jesus. They all fled. But then we have the account where we come down to verse 69 through 75, where Peter followed afar off, but yet he denied his Lord. See, Paul had a little understanding about this. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 16. Actually, let's go back to verse 11. It says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, in the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Paul had an understanding of what the Lord went through when he was crucified. He says, "All men forsook me." See, Paul understood. Peter's sin reached a point where he simply ran away and deserted the Lord Jesus. After a while, going back to the old lifestyle, it's easier to abandon his position. See, we get tired of fighting, we just give in. The current has wore us out. And usually, when the current wears us out, it's because we lose focus of the Lord and we start walking in our own strength. We can't get too far in our own strength because eventually we just give up. See, sin has a great power over us. It is not if it's not dealt with. We start thinking our wrong actions are right, just as you see around you. Has there ever been a time when you were closer to the Lord? It's just a question to ask ourselves, self-evaluation. Was there ever a time when you served with more fervor and passion than you do today? See, someone walked away, but it wasn't the Lord. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." See, Ephesus in Revelations, one thing the Lord had against them is what? They lost their first love. They lost their first love. Can you remember back to the time that you got saved and the excitement you had? What happened? Was there a time where you were closer to God than you are now? Was there a time when His Word, His house, His presence meant more to you than now? Was there a time when you lived closer to Him than you do now? See, looking at the life of Peter, we can learn a lot. Was there a time when he meant more to you than he does now? See, we need to be honest with ourselves. See, many have forsaken the Lord like Peter did. See, how do I know? Because I've been there. I've done it. It's plain to see. When your heart is not right, you stop serving God where you once did. When you stop supporting God's house with your prayers, your giving, your attendance, your heart is simply just not right. Most importantly, when there's no passion or burden for lost sinners, your heart is just not right. Before restoration happens, we must first realize where our heart really is. Tonight, we're going to finish this message, and I've done a little short, but we're going to look at Peter's restoration. There is time for restoration. There is help. God says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, there is a way out. There is a way to change. And see, we can learn a lot from the life of Peter. We can see where he went wrong. We can see. See, it's easy for us. Trust me, it's easy for us to look at other people's lives and see what they're doing wrong. And see where they need to get right, but we fail to look at ourselves. It doesn't move, we can't move forward. There could be no restoration until we see ourselves in that position, until we see our own sinfulness. It kind of goes along with my Sunday school lesson. How do I deal with sin in my life? You know, how do I deal with it? We got to take it to the Lord. We need to ask Him to help us to love Him more. We need to ask Him to help us do better, because we can do better. He never asks us to do anything that we can't, that we do, that He does not enable us and give us the ability to do. The question is your relationship with the Lord the same as it was when you got saved? Now, I'm not saying about maturity, because you obviously, if you've been walking with the Lord a long time, there's going to be maturity. But do you still have that same fervor? Do you still have that same excitement? Do we get excited when we hear about somebody getting saved? Do we get excited about going to church? We should, because it's another opportunity for us to serve. It's another opportunity for us to give honor and glory to God for what He's done in our life. We're going to ask my wife to come forward and play the piano. We're going to take a few moments of invitation. We're going to ask that everybody stand and heads bowed and eyes closed and...